Ask the Lord to be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5 and the 16th verse, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Chapter 5, 16th verse, the Epistle to the Ephesians. What the Apostle Paul is writing about to the godly Ephesians, as the Spirit of God indicted what he was to write, is for them not to waste time. And these godly Ephesians had their names on church rolls. But this word, which is indeed a good word to contemplate, especially as you step forth into a new year, and at any other time too, is a word it will be well for you, dear young people, as I address you primarily, to seek the help of God to do, because if you began to reckon up all the time that you have wasted, you and I, in looking back over our lives, time that has passed by and nothing has been done worthwhile, nothing has been said that did anybody any good, and therefore that time is wasted. And the word of God is very solemn. The thought of foolishness is sin, for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And by him actions are weighed. And you know, dear young friends, and older friends too, preacher and people alike, must all plead guilty here. A long life's way, you and I have wasted quite a deal of time. And now we have got to give an account of it. And we shall need the help of God to deal with us regarding it. And he will show us mercy if we are helped to keep in mind, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to say something that will be helpful to you on this line of things. And there is one thing I need not take up much time in setting it forth, because you do not need any preacher to tell you. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And now the Apostle Paul, as he penned this epistle to the Ephesians in his day, he declares the days are evil. What do you think the Apostle Paul would say nowadays? If he could be on the earth and was inspired of God to pen an epistle, and you and I could be helped to read it, regarding the days in which you and I are living. They are evil days. And they are called in the Word of God last days. The Apostle Paul penned an epistle to Timothy, and he said, "Know thou that in the last days perilous times shall come." And dear young people, they have come. You and I are living in those times, the Word of God declares. And no preacher, though he may indeed be sent of God, can tell you in adequate words how perilous the times are in which you are living. Our land in which you and I are living is like the crater of a volcano. And any day there may be an eruption. And the evil in the land from Land's End to John o' Groats come to a climax. And the eruption take place. And you and I will be involved in it. But do remember, I hope that you and I will also find mercy in such a perilous time. They that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see all dangers overpast and every storm and live at last. Oh, I do earnestly hope God will regard you, dear young people, in much mercy and preserve you from the ills and evils of the perilous times in which you are living, and that you will be helped. He alone can help you, oh, that he may be pleased to do so, and that he will help you to feel God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And now, looking first of all, I want to say a little about this redeeming the time. Time is a wonderful subject, but I might tell you, dear young people, it is a very difficult subject to preach from. You think about time. Ponder it in your own hearts. Suppose you were asked, you grammar school scholars, and lesser scholars too, if you were asked to write an essay on time, how would you begin? How would you answer the question, what is time? You would find it very difficult. You might be glad to borrow some of the hymn writer's language when he said, time is but a bubble floating on eternity's vast sea. Time, a bubble. You look at it, you see its pretty colours for a second, and it bursts. Such is time. I think of a sundial which had this motto, time flies, time tries, time dies. Yes, time is a very difficult subject to preach about, but I can tell you what is harder still. Time is a much more difficult subject to seek to reduce to practice according to what the Apostle Paul tells us. Redeeming the time so that the passing moments, minutes, hours, whatever the time may be, has got something recorded in it which will abide either in time to benefit you and others, or better still, to abide for time and eternity too. Redeeming the time. Time flies. You know how it flies. But then it tries. Sometimes you see things and they look well, as a picture as it were, and you wonder how matters will go. But time tries these things that you were looking on, and sometimes it proves them to be not what you thought at first they were. And then, this is a great truth, I nearly said, and I will, a terrible truth, time dies. The present moments just appear, then fly away in haste, that we can never say, they're here, but only say, they're past. I sometimes think of a godly preacher of the gospel who was pastor at one of our courses in Wiltshire. And he was walking along a road, which I have walked along quite a few times in bygone years, going on his way to preach at another little course. And there was a maiden, a teenage girl, walking with him, who was pondering in her heart the things of God. And as they were journeying on together, the godly minister paused and said, "Shall I tell you what I've been thinking?" And the answer was, "Do tell me, please." "And now, in 100 years' time, you and I will be in eternity. Where shall we be? Shall we be in heaven? Or, alas, shall we be in hell?" And now that girl never forgot that. It was a nail fastened in a sure place. And I saw that girl, when she had grown up and was old and grey-headed, on her dying bed. And she told me that incident. And as she was dying, she said, "I am on the rock, feelingly so." Oh, that is a dying testimony. I hope you, dear young people, may know something about in your own soul's experience. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Oh, other ground is sinking sand. And I was impressed in reading some time ago that another godly minister, one much owned and blessed of God in his day, Mr. William Tiptoft, he was out for a walk in autumn time, and the leaves were falling all around, and it suddenly came to his mind that when he had gone the way of all the earth, as many years as the falling leaves told that were falling all around him, when they had passed by, it would only be that eternity had, as it were, just begun. And now, redeeming the time, I'll take this word time and give you a word for each letter in it, whereby you might be helped to remember some viewpoints of time and the importance of recognizing the good counsel the Apostle Paul has given, redeeming the time. The margin is buying up the opportunity. In other words, as ye have opportunity, do good unto all men, and especially they that be of the household of faith. And now the letter T stands for transient. And that means passing. And it is very striking in the Word of God, the illustrations which are used to set forth the brevity of our lives, how short they really are comparatively with the eternity we are hastening to enter into. And you find that the psalmist speaks of life like this, as a passing show. And now sometimes, you dear young people, you have seen some event to take place. You have felt you should like to witness it. You have made arrangements to do so. You have looked forward to it. As long as it was lawful and right, that was quite as it should be. But the day has dawned, and you have gone. You have seen what you went to see. But it all passed before your eyes. And the next day, there was nothing whatever to show for it. What you did see, though it was a reality when you saw it, was only transient. It was just a passing show. And now you find the Holy Spirit uses these illustrations to set forth time. We all do fade as a leaf. And now you have seen the beautiful coloured leaves of autumn time, beautifying the landscape. But when you see them again, remember, we all do fade as a leaf. Our life is like that. For a while you see the bud, it bursts forth into a leaf, and it is a picture in its greenness and strength, but it fades, and it dies, and it drops off. Yes. Then it is spoken of also as a flower fading. And the psalmist has this illustration. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And now you see, life is like that. It is a good illustration, and you, dear young people, do think about it. A tale that is told. That is your life, my life. And you know a tale is made up of chapters. And now you can begin with the chapter of childhood. And then you can think of the chapter of school days. And that is about as far as some of you young people have got yet. But then there is the chapter also of manhood, womanhood. Your teenage life as you grow up and go forth into life. And then there are further chapters to follow. But there comes the concluding chapter. Maybe when old age has come, and it could be before then. But you know you put F-I-N-I-S at the end of a book, and that is the end of it. The tale is told, you have read it, there is no more. Aye, but with regard to this tale that is told, that the psalmist refers to, there is some more. Every one of us must give an account unto God regarding the life that we have lived, how we have filled up the chapters in life's pages. We must give an account of it unto God, whether our concern has been to live after the flesh, the things of the flesh, or to live, as I hope it will be with all of you, after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Then our life is compared to an handbreadth, and also a dream. And again, it is compared to being a shepherd's tent, which is just put up for the time being, that the shepherd needs to be where he is. Then it is taken down. It is not permanent as a habitation. No. Then our life is likened to grass growing and withering. And sometimes it is referred to as just a shadow. And Hezekiah, he speaks about a weaver's shuttle and the thread cut off by the weaver. When the pattern of our life has been woven on the weaver's shuttle, it will be cut off and it will be seen before God what the pattern really has been, whether you have lived for this world or the next, whether you have sought in your life to do as you like and live as you list, or whether your concern has been to live unto God and redeem the time and consider time as given to you to prepare to enter into eternity. And you know the hymn writer says, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And now Job says that his life was a pilgrim age. And life is like that. We are pilgrims to Canaan bound. We hope some of us. Are you? Then he says his life is like to the swift ships And James speaks about our life as being but a vapor, and it vanisheth away. You know there is no stability whatever in vapor. The wind blows and it is gone. Such is our life. And now all these illustrations are to remind us that it becomes us to seek to redeem the time. Because time is transient. And what is more, it is not for you to do as you like in it. And the Apostle Paul makes that plain to the church at Corinth, where he says, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That is redeeming the time aright. T for transient. And now I stands for important. Time is important. God makes use of it. God ordained that time should be born. And you read in the Word of God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how important that was. It was then that time really began. But I want to show you how important time is from another viewpoint. And now I will read you an illustration of it in the Gospel of Luke. Do listen. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And now you see how God regards time in its importance, so that all the higher critics and modernists of the present day, they cannot overturn that fact that when all these people were living as God ordained they should live, and where they were living their lives, though they were not living to his honor and glory, alas, yet they are historical facts that cannot be erased. And it was then the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. There are all those guarantees to emphasize that time is important. There is also another reference that will show you how important time is. In the book of Exodus, listen. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. Listen, this is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And now the Spirit of God has given that graphic description, and it cannot be undone or overturned, whoever may criticize it or seek to pull it to pieces. God said that Israel should be in Egypt 430 years. But on the selfsame day, the time was up. Out they came. Time is important. Yes. And then there is another time I just call your attention to. It is one of my favorite subjects But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God ordained that there should be a day when Jesus Christ should be born as verily man, born a babe by birth mysterious. And for 4,000 years, patriarchs, psalmists, prophets waited long, looked forward to that time when the Messiah should dwell on the earth, and they died without seeing it. And the last one, Malachi, says, and here you see time is important. Unto you therefore which fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you all know there is a set time for the Son to arise. And so there was a set time when Christ Jesus would come into the world to save sinners. Dear young people, how important that time was. It could not fail to come to pass. God had so ordained it. Time is important. And then there is this viewpoint of it. And you know I do wish you well. It is time to seek the Lord. Have you begun to do that? I do believe quite a few of you do know what it is to seek the Lord. Are there any of you who are here under Union Chapel Roof who as yet have not begun to seek the Lord? And now I just tell you, time is important. You may not be here tomorrow to do it. It is time to seek the Lord. And you read in the Hebrews, and it is beautiful reading, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And what do you read in Isaiah? Oh, what a good word that is. But do mark one word here. Come now. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But here is the emphasis on time and its importance. Come, not tomorrow. You say, well, I'm only young. I may live to be old and grey-headed. Time enough yet to think about it. You may not have time enough yet to think about it. And the word of the Lord is, come now. Yes. Oh, remember to what I read to you. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now you are young. When I was a lad at school a long time ago, we sometimes used to sing in morning school, grant me, O Lord, thy early grace, nor let my soul complain that the young morning of my days has all been spent in vain. Oh, time is important. And now we come to the letter M. And now that stands for measured. Time is measured. I shall find it difficult to give you the proper explanation of it, because I told you it was a very difficult subject to try to preach from. But I must try as the Lord shall help me. Time is measured like this. If you look in the book of Genesis, you will see one chapter where those of whom it tells, from Adam onwards, they lived lives that were ever so long. But then it says this, of one who lived the longest, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Time was measured to him. Though he had all those birthdays, maybe he forgot so many of them, but time for him was measured. So it is for all the others. It says of each one, after telling how long they lived, and he died. It seems quite a melancholy chapter, as it were, speaking with great reverence, to read it down. But there is one of whom, wonderful to tell, it is not said that he died. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch, time was measured for him, were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful fulfillment of time that was for godly Enoch. His time was measured by God, and then all at once, he was in eternity, forever with the Lord. Yes. And now, many years ago, there was a tombstone in Charing Churchyard. And it is over 100 and something years ago of what I am telling you happened. William Huntington was alive then, one of the godly ministers of that far back day of whom you have heard preachers refer to. And he was in the neighbourhood of Charing then, and he saw in the churchyard a tombstone, and it had this verse on it: "Where I am now, you soon must be. Prepare for death and follow me." William Huntington did not feel he could agree with whoever it was whose mortal remains were underneath. And he wrote these words on the tombstone. This is recorded, I think, in his life. "To follow you? Is that your cry? And not to know the reason why? To follow you, I'm not content unless I know which way you went." And now that is all important. And now you look at our cemeteries. You see hundreds and thousands of stones, tombstones. So you do in the churchyards. You can go round ours. And there are stones that have been erected from at least the 14th century onward, though you cannot read what they have got to tell. But there the dead have been buried all those years until the present time. And when you walk in the churchyard, you might say, "What mean ye by these stones?" And now, if you search out the meaning, you will want to be like the psalmist. And he says in Psalm 39, "Lord, make me to know the measure of my days, how frail I am." The margin reading is, "What time I have here." And now, if God should make you to know that, you think how you would be living. If an angel could reveal to you that during 1967 you would step out of time into eternity, would you waste any time? I am sure you would look into the Word of God as you have never looked into it before. And you would be often seeking to draw near to God that you might be fitted not only to live, but to die. Because you would realize your time is measured, because an angel made the fact known to you. But then it is measured. And now when you come right down to it, How shall we measure time? I believe the best description you can ever have of it is what one hymn writer says. Only this frail and fleeting breath preserves me from the jaws of death. Soon as it fails, at once I'm gone and plunged into a world unknown. Time is measured by a breath, and the Apostle Paul speaks of it as a moment. And in that moment, he means however long you have lived your life, it may be 60, 70, 80, 90 years. But he says, it is but a moment compared with what is beyond time, when time shall be no more, forever and ever. And now, this will help you to understand it. I said time is measured. Think of what is recorded, which you have no doubt read many times, but I will read it to you again because there is much instruction in it. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night time is measured for you. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And now in our village life, last Sunday evening, one of our villagers died suddenly. A man who is really a loss to the village because he was a moral, upright man. And he could be respected for what he was. But he said to his wife, sometime after his tea time, not very long, I do not feel very well, I think I will go to bed. And as he went into his bedroom, he looked at the clock and he did not think it was telling the time aright. And he said to his wife in another room, called to her, what is the time? And she told him. And he was seeking to put the clock right. But time for that man was measured. It was his time to die. And so he dropped down in the bedroom where he was and died. There is an illustration of what I am trying to get you, dear young people, to ponder in your hearts. And now we come to the letter E. And that stands for eternity. You could say, but it is not needful to say it, you could say that eternity is an endless time. Time that ever passes on and never comes to an end. Endless. But the word eternity sets it forth. But whatever can a preacher say in trying to describe eternity? One godly hymn writer, a German, put it like this to help people to understand a little about it. Came there a bird each thousandth year, a sand grain from the hills to bear, when all had vanished grain by grain, eternity would still remain. Mark well, O man, eternity. And you know a verse the pastor often quotes, as long as God shall God remain, so long shall last hell's lingering pain. So long the joys of heaven shall be, O long delights, long misery. Eternity. And now, in the book of Revelation, which has got much wonderful truth in it, that no one seems nowadays to have yet special light regarding it, but it is very striking that we are nearing to the times referred to when some of these things described in figurative language will be taking place before our eyes if we should live. And now here is a very striking expression about time. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea, and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein. Listen, that there should be time no longer. And now that time is awfully important. The margin reading is, no more delay. Which means that the time is come when the judgments of God will be poured out upon a guilty world in an awful fullness. And what a mercy it will be if at such a time you and I are found safely sheltered in the rock of ages. And regarding eternity, what you and I will first of all know about eternity is set forth in a picture which I have read to you before, but I want to read it to you again. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. Do listen. And I saw the dead, small and great, young and old, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And now what I want you to remember is this, as you go on your way home. You and I will be there in that vast assembly to stand before God as he is on that great white throne. And you see, as you are to be judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to the works that you have done, surely you do see how important it is for you to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Not to be living for this world only and just satisfying your carnal mind with whatever earthly pleasures you can find as you think to do so. But remember, these days in which you and I are living are evil beyond words to describe. There are drugs and dope in the devil's own brew, which is all to ensnare you, dear young people, if so be the devil can turn you against God and godliness. But those who love you, oh, they pray for you that God in his infinite mercy will teach you, lead you into his truth, the truth of what you are by nature as a sinner, and that you might be led into the truth of who Jesus Christ is as the sinner's friend, and find in him your God, your Lord, to serve him as you live out life's little day. And there is a word here with which I will conclude. And now, in a book I have, it says that a traveller in France saw these words put up as a notice in a French village. Understand well these words. Do you listen to them? A God, a moment, an eternity. A God who sees thee, a moment which flies from thee, an eternity which awaits thee. A God whom ye serve so ill, a moment of which you so little profit, an eternity which ye hazard so rashly. Oh, how essential it is to seek divine aid to redeem the time. And now go back to when, as I said earlier on, I was a lad at school. We used to sing a hymn like this. Redeem thy misspent moments past, and live each day as if thy last. Thy talents to improve, take care for thee great day, thyself prepare. Direct control suggests this day, all I design or do or say, that all my powers, with all their might, in thy sole glory may unite. If God should help you to pray that prayer, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth should speak, you will be concerned every day to enter into this word, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen.